Thank you, honey. It's my beautiful wife, Katie. She's good. She's good. Some light there. What's up, y'all? Welcome to the Glory Hub. Hallelujah. Such an honor to be in the presence of Jesus Christ. Whoa. Phew. This is only our third time doing these Sunday night deals, but it's been fun. And our heart is really just to, you know, to kind of have a little more maybe freer expression of worship in some places you may find. I don't know, whatever. But to freely worship in the glory. And then to provide a place where the pure just gospel of Jesus can be preached. Amen. The good news of Jesus. So we're going to expound on that tonight. I have the honor. It's truly an honor to share the gospel, the apostolic gospel, one sent from heaven, once entrusted to us from heaven that has the ability to set our heart free in every way. Whoa. Wow. Wow. So that's what we're going to look at tonight. And these first Sunday of the month are a great time to just invite people to come out and hear maybe for the first time or something. Because, you know, the heart of even starting these was just to provide a place where, some of us over the last, you know, 10 years or so have been encountering God and the goodness of God and asked that question, you know, is it possible to exaggerate the goodness of God? And, so far we haven't found it possible. And yet that question and really the opening of our eyes by the Holy Spirit has taken us to on some really crazy journeys and looking in the scripture and seeing that maybe God's love is so much bigger, God's salvation is more vast, that life in the Spirit is so much more exciting and so much more good. Man, unfortunately, spirituality has gotten such a serious rap so many times. And what I mean by that is all of a sudden everybody's joy is sucked out or the life is sucked out of it. And, you know, spiritual things are either we just think they're super weird or they're just intellectual nonsense that doesn't have anything to do with our daily life. But Jesus came to reveal a good news that's tangible, like very involved in the moment-to-moment life of actual humans. And to show us that God is absolutely ever present. That's absolutely like every moment, everything you touch, everything you put your hand to is filled with God. And,
what did you just say?
And not just any God, but the God that's revealed himself in Jesus as full of life, as full of zeal and full of passion and full of just expression, you know. That's why even during the worship, you know, I mean, this isn't even scratching the surface with how crazy we've gotten sometimes in worship, but depending on your background, it might feel a little bit expressive, but I'm like, you know, I'm actually an unashamed, like, hedonist in the glory for the pleasure that's found in God. I believe we were created for life. You know, I was just hearing during worship, Holy Spirit is just reminding me, emotions are a beautiful thing. Like, emotions are not evil. And in fact, you know, I love that this is the first time we've had all these flags out and stuff. I love, you know, the expressiveness of just different creative aspects of our being that we're meant to be explored, you know, that we're meant to be. And music is one. I mean, for so many times, spiritual people have been afraid of music almost. It's like too powerful. I don't want to manipulate my emotions, brother. Well, I got all excited during worship because someone manipulated my emotions. It's like, what if music was created for that very purpose? And it's just, you can use it like for truth or you can use it to manipulate you into something else. But what Holy Spirit showed me a long time ago about music was just that, you know, music helps you to feel the things that you believe. You know, the things that, and that's why I love singing good words as well, but the things that you already believe, you combine those with music, and it's like, oh my goodness, like there's whole aspects of your being that begin to experience stuff. So, thank you, Lord. I'm going to steal a podium here. Oh, Lord. So I love that. Thanks, Brian. A lot of those were originals from Brian and the team, there's some spontaneous stuff in there that was really juicy. It's just awesome, man. It's awesome to sing the truth, you know. If you read the lyrics, feel free to take, we put, you know, the lyrics out there. I know most of you weren't really using them that much, but take it home, dude. There's some good stuff in there, actually. I love singing the truth, you know. Wow. So if you would, I won't take too long, maybe, I don't know how, 30 minutes or something. And let's just explore the goodness of God. Like, let's just look at the goodness of Jesus. Let's look at some scriptures and see our maybe our reality expanded, maybe our awareness expanded a little bit of what is true. So, some of you that know me, Katie and I have been doing ministry stuff for like 10 years, and you know, everywhere we go, we preach one thing. We preach the gospel of Jesus, which there is actually a gospel of Jesus Christ, Matthew 4:17 and Mark 1:15. It wouldn't be right if I didn't just share with you, because you know, I'm a person that's like, if I want reality and I want what works and I want like, I mean, I'm tired of spiritual mumbo jumbo, you know, just I don't need another message or whatever. But what is real, and what I mean by that is like, you know, salvation actually means like practical, like life, like health. Like I believe in health and wealth and like the fullness of God, the fullness of heaven. That salvation means that all the things that were negative and evil and destructive and all those patterns were actually rescued out of those if you're saved, right? You're saved from something and saved into something greater. And a lot of times we've just said, well, thank God Jesus saved me. And our revelation of that has been, you know, so small. And that's what I mean by, you know, we wanted to provide a place where in Fort Wayne people can hear of how great a salvation or how good is God, you know? What is the extent? Like, what if, you know, I actually believe that all the world's problems would be solved if we just saw the salvation that's already freely given to us in Jesus. That every area, so if there's an area of your life, even tonight, that I believe as we look at the truth and hear the gospel, because Romans 10 says that the gospel is the power of God, that those areas can be met, can be dealt with, you can experience like greater freedom and greater life from that. So let me just read you Jesus's gospel then. Like, if Jesus came to bring salvation, what does that even mean? About 8 years ago or something, the Lord struck me with these passages. And because I grew up in the church, and yet never once did I hear preached this simple message that Jesus preached everywhere he went, which is, that's pretty wild. But, you know, in the book of Mark, it actually, if you have the old KJVs with the red letters and stuff, it just has one sentence in red letters, you know. And so that's probably a big deal right here. It's like Jesus said one little thing. It says he went from town to town. So let's just look at that. If you have a Bible or if you just go with me, I know if you've heard me preach before, this is the broken record, but it still works for me. Woo! Still good. The gospel is still freaking good news to me. Hey. So Mark 1:15, it says, after John was arrested, Jesus came into Galilee proclaiming the gospel of God. So it's probably pretty good. And saying, and then here's that part. If you have a KJV, old red letters, it's one sentence of red letters. It says, the time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe the gospel. So, you know, you go to a lot of places or whatever, they'll tell you, yeah, this is the gospel. It's the four spiritual laws, or it's the, you know, Jesus died on the cross. And those are all amazing things. And that's all in here. But the gospel that Jesus preached was actually, it's right here. It just says, and essentially in this whole sentence, part of it is like a prelude and the other half is a response. So the first part says the time is fulfilled. So that's kind of setting the atmosphere. The latter part says, repent and believe in the gospel. That's the response. So the meat of this sentence is just the few little words there that says, the kingdom of God is at hand. Or if you go to Matthew 4:17, one that I kind of like a little better because it helps me, but Jesus in that translation or in that gospel says, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. So one simple sentence, dude, to me, I've just been staring at it. I've still been staring at it for the last like 10 years. And that's not even where I'm all going to go into tonight. But I have to just share that anytime I get to speak. 'Cause I think that's what's burning on the heart of God. If you look into those few little words and see what Jesus meant there, I believe there's freedom and life for every situation, for every experience, for every time of your life. If you're like an unbeliever, a new believer, or you've been a believer for a thousand years, this is still going to be relevant. And what is that? It's knowing that in Jesus, all the fullness of heaven and earth were brought together in one. Like, whoa. Or, you know, Jesus was coming to the Jews in these chapters, if you take it in context, he was preaching all around in the Jewish areas to the Jewish people and saying, all the things that you were looking for through the Old Testament, all these promises, because they had a lot of promises, right? What were they looking for? A Messiah and a kingdom of God. That's amazing. And a lot of people are still thinking that that's where we're at. If you go to most churches, it's about when are the promises going to be fulfilled, you know, or someday or whatever. But Jesus actually came, you know, in 1 Corinthians, it says all the promises are yes and amen in him. They're all already yes and amen. And in this gospel, Jesus comes to the Jewish people and to all people everywhere. But it says first for the Jew, for the Gentile. That's another topic for another day. But he comes and he says, all those things you were looking for are here. All of them are here. And not just somewhere out there, but Jesus stepped in and said, I'm here. Like it's right here. It's in me. It's always been in me. And therefore, as you look at me, you discover that they've always been in you. That Christ in you is heaven on earth. That heaven, that all the things that, you know, another way I often say is all the things you thought were reserved for heaven one day are here now. Whoa. Now that's the one that will scandalize you. And I mean, that's what gets us kicked out of different places, you know, sometimes. So it's like that most of Christianity right now is basically God's forgiven you and someday you'll die and go to heaven. And I mean, that's like the bread and butter of most Christianity right now, but that's not Christianity. I just have to tell you, like, I'm not here to say I'm better than anybody else or whatever, but when I read the Bible, I don't see that in there. Of course, you're forgiven and heaven will be someday, but there's way more in this good news than just forgiveness. Forgiveness is powerful. Don't get me wrong. Forgiveness is freaking amazing. Amen. Like, let's just forgive everybody right now and realize that we are completely forgiven. That's powerful. But you know, if I told you you're forgiven, but you're not set free, that doesn't really help you a lot on the daily. You know what I mean? If I tell you you're forgiven and you go to heaven someday, then what are the next 100 years of your life for? What's the point? You know, you're just going to keep screwing up asking God for forgiveness and then someday you're going to go somewhere else. Dude, I don't see that anywhere in here, man. I don't see that. I see Jesus coming and saying stuff like, you know, Psalm 24, the earth is the Lord's. Not, I'm going to destroy the earth and none of this matters. Yeah, of course, there's some passages there. If you kind of take them in, you have to take them in context of the book of Revelation and stuff. But people have made whole massive theologies out of the book of Revelation that nullify all this other clear stuff like Jesus's gospel itself. And so, anyways, dude, there's just a lot. There's so much in there. It's so much in there. And what a holy thing tonight to even speak of these wonderful realities, you know? Whoa, just let the weight of, you know, God came from heaven to earth in a human body to bring us this beautiful message. And it was true. Most of humanity had forgotten, all of humanity. Jesus comes to the Pharisees, who are the guys that were supposed to be the teachers in John 6 and says, none of you know God. So humanity had forgotten this message. What a privilege. I don't take it for granted, dude, that I have this amazing apostolic gospel. This amazing awakening, dude. But you know, another thing that Jesus did when he preached this gospel is he healed everybody, right? Man, does anybody need healing tonight? Let me just put your hand up. If you need healing in any way, Holy Spirit, let's just recognize, the gospel says it's here. The gospel says it's in this atmosphere. I don't care if you've, you know, well, I've prayed for healing 1,000 times. Whatever, dude, the gospel is here. Jesus is here. Jesus is here right now. Lord, we just thank you for bodies being touched because of your goodness, God, because of, woo! Lord, I just thank you for finances being touched. I just thank you, Lord, that in this room, because of Jesus, is all the riches of heaven, all the fullness of heaven. Ha, 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 ha. All your love. Lord, emotions being touched tonight. Hey, 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 hey. emotions being touched. Emotions. I just feel like someone's had a lot of pain in the back of their head or right in this neck area, and Jesus is touching that right now. I just release heat right here. Thank you, Lord. Just maybe move your neck around a little bit. Just kind of thank you, God. Thank you, God. Hey. Yeah. And right, someone's right leg or whatever, maybe you broke your leg sometime and there's some mobility issues. We just release heat, just fire over the mobility issues. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah. Robin still got her hand up. I just want to bless it. Robin, we love you. We just release whatever you need tonight, Robin. We just release that over you. You're so loved. You're so loved. Thank you, Lord. Yeah. The kingdom of God in your body, Robin. The kingdom of God in your mind. Hey. The reign of God. The reign of God. Hey. Woo. Woo. Most of you guys are glory realm people. Just feel the glory realm in here right now, you know. It's rich. That glory realm is the kingdom of God. That is Jesus Christ himself. It's all the same. It's one. Hey. I just feel the rain. I was just saying the rain of God, and I meant it in one way, but now I kind of feel the rain in another way. Hey. Hey. Woo. Just put your hand on your neighbor or something. Just bless them, man. I don't know. Just dare to put your hand on somebody. Wow. Father of glory. Father of glory. So that, I guess that was just the introduction. Because I have a more specific word, but you know, I never feel like a message is complete, and if you don't hear, you know, if there's even one person that hasn't heard the good news that the kingdom of heaven is at hand, it's the central message of this Bible here, you know. It's the central message that heaven and earth, you know, Ephesians 1 unpacks it, but heaven and earth are inseparably united in the person of Jesus. And that includes you. Tonight I just wanted to share some more specifically about the security that we have in Papa. Or you could say Mama, Holy Spirit too, the security. Just the you know, the Lord was speaking to me the last couple of weeks, and I feel like it's just a general word too for our body, but it's who are you trying to impress? Even for you Holy Ghost drunks, you know, are you even all you guys that are deep in the glory and stuff, you know, it's just so much, it's so, you know, sometimes there's so much pressure to slip back into performance. You know, and you see so many people that, man, they can get various parts of the gospel or the kingdom, or they can walk in powerful anointings and giftings, and then, and yet never really feel just secure, you know, never come to rest. And oftentimes you see that's why, they'll have a lot of struggles in all kinds of different areas, or even fall away. I mean, how many of you guys have known believers that have fallen away or whatever? I mean, I believe they're all coming back. We can only be prodigals for so long, amen. But at the same time, what is it that brings you back, you know? What is it that brings you back? Or what is it that roots you? What are you rooted and grounded in, you know? Hey, even tonight as we speak, you know, there's a lot of glory sometimes on just doing little actions. If you just feel to lay down somewhere, you know, there's a picture. The Lord gave me a picture one time of just regarding security in the gospel and regarding security in God, of just me washing up on the shore of God. Like, because some of us, you know, you feel shipwrecked sometimes, or you feel like out to sea. You know what I mean? Like, or maybe that, like, the Apostle Paul actually got, you know, lost at sea multiple times, is just out there. But, you know, you can just feel like, you know the truth and stuff, but you've just been out to sea. And sometimes, man, you just need to just wash up on the shore of God, the shore of God's love. You know? That's for sure, she said. So a lot of times for me, like when I'm soaking or something, I still get that picture. I'll just be lying there I feel like I'm on the warm sand, you know, just after like a big storm or something, you know. Hey. But a lot of times those storms, I mean, a lot of those storms are just self-inflicted storms too, you know. Because Holy Spirit's just saying, who do you have to impress? Like, a lot of times just that performance is the storm. You know, feeling like we need to impress somebody. And there's so many different words out there about us. Like, if you get people speak things in your family, people speak things over you at work, or people speak things over you in all the different spheres that you're in, and they're rarely what Papa's speaking over you, you know. And those words a lot of times have power. We're powerful beings, and when, you know, you're getting all these accusations, which they might not even be purposeful accusations, but when someone says something about you that's less than your identity at any time, if it's an accusation, whether they meant it that way, and how easy is it to take those things on? And even just because you love people, even you want to please them. You want to impress whoever it is, or even it's yourself, or oftentimes worst of all, God. We still feel like we have to impress God, you know. So I just wanted to just speak to that tonight, and just give us opportunity again to just to wash up on the shore of God's love, you know, just to wash up on the shore of what He's saying about us, you know, of what He's speaking over us, of that. And that's so much of the gospel. Is it's not just a general heaven is here, but no, like in your person, like in you, is like an indispensable part of heaven to God. Like like Jesus really does say, you know, I think Jesus came from heaven to earth. You know, some people think, I mean, I've literally heard this preach. It's like God was like, well, I got to go down and save those fools, you know. Those morons screwed it up. Now I'm going to have to come down off my throne. Like, make everything. But, dude.
Don't make me come over there.
I believe it was so different than that. I just see the burning eyes of Jesus and the compassion of Jesus saying, hey, they've forgotten, like, where they are. They've forgotten who they are. And for me, heaven is not heaven without them. Like heaven, I cannot have heaven without experiencing it with my beloved, you know. Or in another way, you are the heaven to Jesus. Like we are heaven to God. Just as God is our heaven, but the bride and the bridegroom, it goes both ways. Like we are His heaven. We are His heaven. And you know, it wasn't that God came because we were such sorry sacks of whatever that He needed to fix it. It was just God is absolutely impressed Like we are his masterpiece. You know, and that's why, you know, that's another reason why I love the finished work message. It's so controversial, but to me, it's so connected with the love of God. We are his perfect masterpiece. It's not just about like arguing theology, but it's like our beloved looks at us tonight and says, just as you are, without impressing anyone at all, if you never did another miracle, if you never accomplished anything again, you know, if you were not successful, whatever occupation you have, you are my masterpiece. Whoa. Song of Solomon says, there is no flaw in you, you know. There is no flaw. He sees the true reality about ourselves. There is no flaw in us. There is no flaw in us. Oh, man. I've been looking at Romans 8. Let's just go there if you have a Bible or whatever. I've just been in Romans 8. It never gets old. Romans 8 is so powerful. There's like so many verses there you could unpack for ages. Someone says Romans 8 and you might think of 100 different sermons, but I'm just looking at, and I loved it in the Amplified. Holy Spirit. A lot of whack here in the Amplified. I don't always like the Amplified, but on this one I do. You know, I like to pick and choose. Now, Romans 8, verse 32. Oh, man, I might back up even. Well, verse 31 is drunk. I guess there's other drunk verses in the Bible, too. Verse 31, what shall we say to all of this? What shall we say to all of this? If God is for us, who can be against us? Shoo la 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 la. Ha ha ha. He who did not withhold or spare his own son, but gave him up for us all. All. That means you. That means whoever. Will he not also with him freely and graciously give us all other things? Who shall bring any charge against God's elect? I love that. That's kind of religious language in a sense, but it's basically saying like, who can say anything bad about you? You know what I mean? Honestly, like, who you really are is so freaking flawless. Like, the way, and we're talking about security. Hey, we're talking about security here. Like, that can make us so, absolutely just secure, just able to rest in knowing that, you know, God is so, we're fully equipped. You know, sometimes we think that we were created well, but now we're screwed up. But listen, Jesus did a complete work. The work of redemption, restoration is done. You are literally, no one can bring a charge against you. It says, it is God who justified you, who put us in right relation. Who can come forward and accuse or impeach those whom God has chosen? So it says here, I like this. Who could come forward to accuse you, man? Verse 34, who is it that condemns us? Who is there to condemn us? It says, will Jesus Christ, the Messiah who died, rather who is raised and is at the right hand of God, interceding for us? Who can ever separate us from Christ's love? Hey, yeah. Shoo. Yeah. No, but honestly, I mean, that's it, dude. The marriage is sealed, you know, and I do want to, you know, I want to keep bringing it home or making it personal, as Dad says, making it personal, you know, there's so many little things that even creep in. It's like, well, you're not, whatever thing you think is impressive about life, you know, you're not anointed enough, or you don't do enough miracles, or you're not, you know, for those of you that are glory drinkers, it's like, well, you're not drunk enough. You know, there's all these little things that say, well, I could be more whack today, or I could be more powerful today, or, you know, in your business, I could be more successful today. And we let all these little things that we're measuring, like, just, we let them touch our core, you know. And then out of that, you know, that's where worry is birthed from. You know, that's where stress is birthed from. That's where every twisted thing is birthed out of that place, you know. When we're, it's insecurity, right? You know, I saw a quote recently, I can't remember who said it, but it said, beware the unloved. And, you know, it's just a funny thing. It just made me think, but really that's where anything stems from, you know. And I'm really convinced, too, that this, when we come to rest in this, you know, absolute security in love, that all of the hurts, all the harms, the ills of the world will cease, you know. All of the, just letting ourselves be loved, you know. I don't think we can go through a long enough season of that. Some people are like, I was in a real season of receiving the love of God. I'm like, let's just take that for like 10 million years, dude. And just, because I'm telling you, dude, most of you have probably heard 10 million negative words about yourself. Am I right? Like just on the daily, if you could count how many little accusations, even just subtle underminements that come against your character. I'm just talking about people that don't believe in you. They don't see you as God sees you. And so, or just whatever it is, even you're not seeing yourself the way God sees you. And you've heard 10,000 things. It's like, that's why people are like, well, you know, I went to church at one time. It didn't really work for me, you know. Well, you heard something good once, and then you went back and heard the negative stuff 10 million times over in your life, dude. There's nothing wrong with just taking a good long time and just be around voices that tell you who you are. You know, just hear the love. Just be around the love, you know. It's like nothing wrong. It's like we put a plant in a greenhouse. There's nothing wrong with putting yourself in a greenhouse for a while. You know what I mean? There's nothing wrong with it, dude. I really highly recommend just like, you know what I mean? Like, because some people are like, well, I don't want to just be around believers. It's like, I totally understand that. You know, Jesus went out into the darkest of places. But you know what? Jesus absolutely knew who he was for billions of years before he went into these places. You know, if you want to, and I think a lot of people are just, they're like, well, you know, I'm ready to go back out into the negative stuff. And that's fine. But you've got your identity. You want your identity to be in this place so solidly. You know what I mean? And I can feel it like a little tipping point, my own confidence in God. I can feel my little tipping point. Like, that's my language for it. I don't know what you would use, but when I can feel when my awareness of reality and when my security in God is pointing the right direction toward who I am. And then those are the times where I can totally just let myself, I can go anywhere, you know. But when there's times when I know, like, I'm not aware of who I am for a little while, like, I just allow myself to default back into places where I'm going to hear the truth again, where Papa's going to, you know, whether that's, you know, reading the scriptures again or prayer or getting around friends or listening to the music that encourages me or whatever it is, you know, to keep hearing this over and over. What do you want to keep hearing? Be around places that say you are God's masterpiece. It's okay to just live for ages, dude, and soak until that confidence has grown, until you know that you know that you know that you are the son. Like, there's places in the scripture, I mean, Sam was singing it during the thing. Jesus is the firstborn among many brethren. Where your confidence in that, not just intellectually, because we can all quote that intellectually, right? But when you feel at your core, I am the firstborn. I am one of the many brethren. Jesus is the firstborn, but I am just like Jesus. That I am in the image and likeness of God. That I stand as a son and daughter. Nothing can change that. No accusation can come against me. No word could cancel that out. Paul says, suffering, affliction, tribulation, calamity, distress, persecution, hunger, destitution, peril, or sword cannot cancel this out. Come on, come on. Come on!
What could ever separate us from Christ's love? As it is written, we are put to death all day long. We are regarded and counted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet amidst these things, we are more than conquerors. Woo-hoo! Hey! Hey! Hey, 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 hey. And we gain a surpassing victory through him who loved us. Oh, Jesus.
How
has the victory come? You know, some people are like, well, it's the newest warfare technique, or it's the newest spiritual insight, whatever. No, it's just through being confident in him who loved us. It's just through being loved. The surpassing victory. And Paul says, I am persuaded beyond any shadow of a doubt that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor things impending, things threatening or things to come. I like that because it's the future. It's a lot of people's biggest fear, you know. Nor powers, nor height, nor depth, or anything else in all creation. That includes you. That includes anything created. Will be able to separate us from the love of God. It's just in Christ Jesus our Lord. Hey, 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 hey. Have you guys seen the movie What Dreams May Come? Have you guys seen that? If you haven't seen it, I highly recommend it. I know it was like a boycotted movie on the Christian boycott list, but too much glory on it. Too much whack. Dude, if you ever want to get whacked on just the love of God, watch any Robin Williams movie, man. I'm telling you, dude. Just look into the face of Robin Williams, dude. I'm telling you, dude. Is it just me or has anyone else ever felt that, you know? There's some actors and actresses, there's so much whack on them, dude. And when Robin Williams, I think, you know, he was obviously like an empath, like a deep, deep feeler, And so when he plays serious roles, dude, I'm just crying thinking about it right now. It's like freaking. But What Dreams May Come is one of my favorites. And sometimes I share about it because I don't know how the Christian church would boycott this movie, because to me, it's one of the clearest pictures of Jesus. When you see that scene, the climactic scene of that movie, dude, where Robin's character is like, you know, they're like, I'll stumble through my retelling of it because I'm going to cry and I like it. But they're like, your wife was a suicide case and she went to hell. And he dies, you know, in the film as well. And I'm going to ruin the whole movie for you, but spoiler alert, it's 20 years old now. So he dies in a car accident and he goes to heaven, but she was a suicide and she went to hell. And he's like, he's in heaven. Oh God. And he's like, where's my wife? And they're like, she's not here. She's in hell. And he's like, let's go. Like he enjoys heaven for maybe like an hour or something. And then he's like, where is she, dude? And they're like, well, no, you know, no one ever makes it back, you know. You can try to go down there, but it's not going to work because she's so confused. You know, she's so confused. She's believed these other realities and there's no shaking her, you know. And dude, that's the fall, man, to me. That's the fall. That's all it was, dude, is we got confused about stuff. It's not this, you know, God never left us. It wasn't our fall away from God. It was our confusion. And so Robin's character, you know, makes all these crazy journeys to get from heaven to hell. That's part of the movies, all these places. But he finally gets there, and she's in some room locked away by herself. And they're like, you know, if you go in there, and you're in there more than like 3 minutes, I love that they say 3 minutes, you know. If you're in there more than 3 minutes, you're going to lose yourself. Guaranteed, you'll lose your mind. And so he stays in there, and he goes right in, and he's like talking to her. At first, he pretends to be somebody else, you know. I think that's awesome. Jesus often comes to us in somebody, and we don't recognize it, because we wouldn't even be ready to handle the glory. If Jesus just showed up straight up, we're not even ready. So he comes in this veiled form, and he pretends to be like the garden keeper or something, the gardener. He's like, I heard about your husband that he died. Do you ever think about him? and she's just confused, you know. And so he stays in there talking to her for like 2 minutes and 59 seconds or something. Then he walks back out to the guy and he's like, you were right. And the guy's like, yeah, there's no way you could change her mind. And he's like, yeah, I think that's true. And he's like, all right, let's go. And he's like, no, I meant you're right. I'm going to stay. And dude, that's, you know, that's the kind of love that's displayed here. It's not a love that just came and said, hey, get your act together so we can go to heaven. You know, it's the kind of love that said, if you want to stay in this hell, then I'll be there, man. Like, like I came from heaven to earth. When Jesus became a man, there was no turning back, you know. He came, he took on flesh once and for all. Jesus still has flesh. Jesus still has bones. He suited up for the whole thing. Or another way, he put all his chips in on us. You know, he didn't have anything else to give. He gave himself fully and completely. There wasn't some, you know, in the message of Jesus, in this gospel, it says heaven and earth are inseparably united. And, you know, if it takes you a billion years to wake up, he comes into that place, you know. And in the movie, I love it. You just see, he goes in, he says, see you, man. And he sends the guy off, the guy that escorted him down to hell. And he walks back into that room with her. And they just look at each other. And he's just totally resigned himself that he'll be in hell with her. And at the exact moment that he's losing himself, she wakes up. And then, you know, there is a happy ending and just like the gospel, you know, if God coming in our very form and showing at the cross, I love it. It's the same thing as this movie. It's at the cross. He's saying, at your worst, when we were at our worst, what's the worst thing you could imagine? Killing God. You know, there might be sins out there. There might be issues, but there, I like to tell people, you know, you might have woken up today and had a horrible day. You might have done some terrible things today, but you probably didn't wake up today and say, I want to kill God today. But even if you did, you know what I mean? Like, this is where the root of security comes from in God, to know that, you know, sometimes you're like, well, I don't know if I'm fully loved, or maybe you believe that you're loved, but you don't think you're fully empowered. Or maybe you don't think you can walk out your destiny. But you know what? If you know, to at least today you want that. On the cross, all of humanity was united in one voice saying, kill God, we hate God, send God away forever. And at that very moment, all the fullness was still available to us. Arms wide open. All of God's literally exposed with bleeding and destroying. And he says, take my body and drink my blood. If whatever it takes, you know, to wake you up. And I believe just like in that movie, when she woke up at the revelation that he was willing to, you know, another quote from the movie is, sometimes when you lose, you win. You know, because there was a little backstory during the movie that was, you know, while she was alive, before she had committed suicide, you know, she had checked into like a mental rehabilitation place, and he waited for, you know, years for her to recover. But eventually in life, he actually gave up on her and left her there. And I think that was one of the things, you know, we think that, you know, in our insanity, there's going to be a time when he leaves us there. But what was the revelation that eventually broke her out was when he came to her in that place in her full on hell. He said, you know, in this place, you know, so, because in the earlier part of the movie, you know, he had been thinking to himself, you know, sometimes, or she actually said to him, sometimes when you win, you lose, because he was the one that was sane. He was the one that was, but he won in life, but he lost her, you know, but in death, he goes to her and he says, sometimes when you lose, you win. You know, and it's not, you know, Jesus's glory isn't in all the triumph of the riches, that he has. Jesus is infinitely wealthy. That's amazing. You know, so I think so much of the world hates the prosperity gospel because it's like they've emphasized the financial wealth as the greatest of Jesus' glories. And it's a powerful thing, but it's not the greatest glory. You know what I mean? That's there, but, you know, because sometimes when you win in that way, you lose people's hearts. But the greatest glory of Jesus was that, you know, in our depths of anything, in the depths of our hells, he's never left us or forsaken us. It's when he lost, we won. You know, in his destruction, in the destruction of his physical body, in the giving of his all to those that hated him, you know, he married us. I love that song. Brian says, you know, he married the hell right out of me. Like he saw that as the only way. And that's why, you know, marriage is such a powerful and beautiful picture, you know, getting to like, to have that opportunity. And that's why, you know, as the body of Christ, covenant relationship is so powerful, is because every individual needs somebody and needs even a group of somebodies that would speak this over them, that, you know what, if you're an unbeliever for the next billion years and you do horrible things, like, we're family, we're one, we're there, like, you can be secure in me. I will never kick you out. I will never lose you. If you lose your way, I'm not going to lose you. You know, you can lose me, but I will never lose you. This is the glory of the gospel. And this is what makes you drunk. This is what brings the miracles. This is what all of those other things are, the byproducts. You know, if you want to be a powerful, mighty man or woman of God that sees amazing things in your life, that's awesome. God doesn't really care. You know, I mean, I'm all about that, you know, but even, you know, all the things that we care about and we, you know, who are we trying to impress? I'm so thankful for a God that doesn't care. He's just impressed. He's so impressed. You know, you want to just stand? Let's just stand for a minute, would you? Let's just receive this. I'm not going to talk too much longer. Let's just, maybe put your hand on somebody next to you. Just release, or hug somebody. I don't know. Just like, freaking. Let's just let ourselves be delivered into rest. Love you, Rainey. Oh, my God. Let's just allow ourselves to be, you know, wash up on the shore, or, you know, just, you can even let yourself lose because he won. You know what I mean? Just, oh, my God, Jesus. Jesus brought, I mean, the goodness of God, the goodness of God, the goodness of God washing over us, the acceptance. More than acceptance, you are celebrated. Just say this over us. I am celebrated in heaven. I am celebrated right now on earth. I am celebrated. I am cherished. I am cherished. I am worth dying for. Let's just let go of shame, you know. I just release freedom from shame tonight in Jesus' name. This message has such a power to bring freedom from shame. What's the message? It's unconditional love, dude. Oh, yeah. We've all heard about unconditional love. But picture that man, dude. Picture, if you've seen the movie, just, you can picture the face of Robin Williams. I don't care. Picture the face of Jesus, but somebody that would go to the uttermost of your hell and say, you know what? Like, whatever happens, dude, whatever happened, I don't care about that. I don't care about that. I don't care if you never do a good thing for me again. I don't care if you serve me. I really don't. I want that for you. Of course, I care about it somewhere, but not primarily. I don't know if any of the prayer team guys, or maybe my dad, or anybody wants. If you want to come up, and I don't know what is going to happen, but I just feel like I just want to take a few minutes and just bask Yeah, it's beautiful, man. It's Sam's just playing. Something's smoking up here, isn't it? Oh, it's a smoke machine. Thought something was on fire. Yeah. Just before we, you know, we'll close out tonight or whatever, but before you go, let's just take some, just take a minute and just let Holy Spirit speak to those deep, just the core of you, the core of us, you know, and say those words to us again. You are my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. You are my beloved daughter. If you need a hug, my dad's up here. But yeah. Dad's gonna say something. Let's just rest in that. You know, eternal security is not just an old Baptist doctrine. Amen. Just let yourself get lost in the eternal security that we have in Him. That all, you know, that any sense of caring about what somebody else thought about you could just fade away. That any sense of yeah.